This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Maybe the best game of the postseason happened last night. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Blues win in overtime 3-2. And for the first time in franchise history, actually win a Stanley Cup playoff game. They have been 0-13, getting swept the three times back in 68, 69, 70. And then, of course, losing Game 1 of this final. But what an amazing game. They come back. They give up the first goal. They wouldn't go away. And with four goals scored in the first period, not another goal scored until early in the first overtime, the Blues have even the series at a game apiece. We will talk to you on Twitter. We'll break down the game. But I also want to bring in a buddy of mine, Mike Brownshire. He's the imaging guy on 98.7 ESPN New York. And he's one of the rare St. Louis Blues fans now residing in New York. He's got a brand new one-month-old daughter named Bennett, who's now got a bunch of Blues onesies, thanks to me. And the St. Louis Cardinals, but that's for a baseball podcast. And you were sitting here as I was getting ready to record. I said, come on, give me your emotions. Give me what you're feeling here. The Blues are even with the Boston Bruins at one game apiece in the Stanley Cup Final. How cool is that?
It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, I sort of thought going into this series that Boston was the better team. So I suppose in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to happen. But we started out game one with the two goals, and then it kind of went the way that it went. And then last night, it was like, you know, Boston gets the first goal and you're like, oh gosh, here we go. And then they just came for the Bruins. And it was so exciting to watch. Like, obviously we tied up. The second and third period were so amazing. They were so much fun to watch. That third period was crazy. Yeah. I mean, just the back and forth was, I don't know, I have a 1 month old and I'm like, I'm jumped up when Gunnarsson scores the goal. I'm like, oh, I got to make sure I don't wake my kid. You know what I mean?
It's worth waking her up. Put her in front of the TV.
Yeah.
It's the first time the Blues have ever won a Stanley Cup final, playoff game. I went into this game feeling like I thought the Blues were going to lose in six. And then after game one, I felt like they blew an opportunity to win.
Definitely.
You know, one of the two games I thought they would win. And I started to really worry that maybe this would be even a shorter series. And then Coyle scores early in the first period. And I'm thinking, all right, this is just not meant to be. I think, as you said, Boston's the better team.
Yeah.
The Blues missed their opportunity in game one. Now Boston's really going to flex their muscle at home. And, you know, Bortuzzo, who, you know, it really shouldn't even be playing. He's playing for Dunn. You know, he had a big goal in the Shark series, gets a big goal here to tie it. Then 40 seconds later, Boston takes the lead again. So there had to be that swing of emotion for you where 1 second you're like, hey, we're back in this thing. And then you go right back to probably the same feeling you had when Coyle scored of, I don't think we're winning this game.
Yeah, it was definitely sort of, you know, as happy as you were about, you know, the tying goal, it's like immediately, it's like, here we go. And so, yeah, it's a little bit of that sort of underdog and just sort of playing from behind, feeling like they are the better team. But like, God, the way they hit them all last night, and they started to set a little bit of their tempo.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second, but I thought the turning point really came. Marchand, who I thought had an awful game, had a real bad turnover. Tarasenko, who might have a chance at a Conn Smythe if the Blues end up winning the series, gets his 10th goal of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But he's been so good in the last couple of rounds, gets that great goal. Rask looks like he's going to make the save. Tarasenko pokes it in, ties it back at two, and then it just settled in.
Yeah.
To the game. I think the Blues didn't play in game one and it cost them, and that's the physical game. They physically pounded the Sharks in the conference final. They almost pounded them into submission to the point where they didn't have any players left by the time they got to game seven. And that wasn't the case in game one against Boston. They out-hit the Bruins in that game last night 49-31.
Right.
They physically pounded them. Now, the Grzelcyk hit by Sundqvist, as of right now, this recording, just a little bit before 2 o'clock Eastern time, he's going to have a hearing, could get suspended. I thought Grzelcyk put himself in a real bad spot. He turned early. He was kind of awkward. But they might get Sundqvist for the headshot. But that forced the Bruins to play with five defensemen the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And it was really physical. Bodies getting thrown all over the place. And I really thought the Blues imposed their will. And now I've got a much different feel about this series. I still think Boston's going to win, Mike, but the Blues played their game last night. They were the much better team in the second half. They were on fire in overtime. They carry that home the next two games. I mean, this is their shot here right now.
Yeah, I think, and maybe Milbury said it last night or somebody said it was like, the better team won tonight. And so for me as a fan, I'm just like, I'm thrilled that we got the split. We leave with the split and you saw them play the game that they know how to play, and so we're going home, and we've got a shot here. And so that's nice.
And the third period was fun. Yeah. I even tweeted, I don't want this game to end because I don't have a rooting interest. I'd like to see the Blues win just because of you.
Sure.
And because the Blues have never won. But I was just having so much fun, and I was just really expecting the same to happen in overtime. But I didn't get a chance. You can't tweet when you're watching hockey games.
It's too quick. Yeah.
Like in football, there's always that downtime, you know, baseball, basketball. I wanted to tweet that either the Blues are going to score or there's going to be a penalty because the Bruins were completely on their heels. So one of two things ends up happening. They cave and they give up the goal, or they do something where they drag somebody down, commit a penalty. And what happened was both happened.
Right.
There was a delayed penalty. And usually on a delayed penalty, Mike, I don't know if you noticed this when you're watching, The focus, it's kind of Heckle and Jekyll. It's all over the place. You bring on the extra attacker and you try to set something up, and sometimes you really can't. And they had structure. It was like the power play was starting right then. And then Gunnarsson, who had hit the post in the third period, never scored a postseason goal, actually went to the bathroom during a break and said, I want another shot. And boy, he just had a lane and he just nailed it right there, upper right corner to win the game.
It was beautiful. Yeah. The story was like that maybe he saw Berube at the bathroom and they were like, he's like, give me another shot. And he got his shot. But yeah, man, it was. Boy, that was fun. It was just so much fun to watch. Obviously, I'm clearly biased, but just all the chances. And then, yeah, the delayed penalty was like they just held onto the puck. They just really had a structure and set it up. And it was kind of a thing of art.
Yeah, it was really. And then you get the symmetry because the last time the Blues were in the Stanley Cup final was 1970. And it was a defenseman wearing number 4, Bobby Orr, that won it in overtime and ended the Blues season the last time they were there. And now their first ever Stanley Cup playoff win is because of an overtime goal by a defenseman wearing number 4. It's just kind of interesting. He wasn't flying through the air, but he certainly flew into the boards after he scored the goal. And like afterwards, he's being interviewed by Pierre and really could not recollect what was even said to him in the scrum after scoring the goal. That's just how much of a high he was on.
Yeah, that was a cool moment. I mean, all these guys, hockey guys are so cool. They're like, yep, it was a pretty unbelievable moment. We're sort of on to the next thing. They're all very low key, and hockey guys are just good, cool dudes.
Now, again, I have a different feel now because they were the much better team, and they can carry that momentum into a building that I'm assuming on Saturday is going to be absolutely up for grabs.
Nuts.
Probably helps Boston that there's an extra day off here because I'm sure the Blues want to jump on the ice today and play game 3. But you're home. First home playoff game in 49 years in the Stanley Cup final.
It's going to be crazy.
Coming off a great overtime win. You got to take advantage and win and still build off that momentum. I mean, if Boston turns around and wins game 3 or has a big first period and wins the game, it all goes away again in that back and forth. So if they're really going to carry this, I think they've got to get that win in game 3, keep that home ice advantage and not just give it right up again.
Sort of keep the foot on the neck of the Bruins, as it were.
And I was thinking about this driving in, Mike. You know, the Blues have been, I think, a cup caliber team for a few years now. Because Tarasenko is a world class player, I think the O'Reilly deal was great with Buffalo. I love their blue line. I think it's very deep. They just never had the goaltender, and now Binnington, who I thought the second goal, I thought the Nordstrom goal, you know, between his legs, maybe he could have had it.
Sure,
but he really recovered. He's now 12-2 following losses in the postseason.
Yeah,
he's been
very cool customer, man.
I mean, Roman Turek, Curtis Joseph. It's not like you've had bad goaltenders in your history, but you never had the goaltender. And I guess time will tell whether he really is truly a special goaltender. Because he's just a kid. He didn't make his debut until January of this year.
Yeah.
He was in the Bruins system and they let him go. Whether he's going to be an elite goaltender, but now this finally is a goaltender that can win them a Stanley Cup. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I remember one of the things that you said to me, maybe before the Cup, you know, he was a question. Obviously, he's had a great season thus far, but one of the things that you said was, you know, we don't really know how good he is in big moments, and he's proving to be kind of what you hoped and what you needed.
Well, late in the season, the Blues were at the Garden. I don't know if you went to that game because I know it was right around, I think your wife was pregnant.
I missed
at the time.
It, yeah.
But you usually go when the Blues are in town.
Mm-hmm.
But so I was talking to Darren Pang, and I said, how do you attribute this turn? I guess it's got to be Binnington, right? I mean, he's the difference because Berube took over in November And it wasn't like it clicked on for them right away.
It took a month or two.
They were dead last in the league on January 3rd. I did the pre and post for their game on New Year's Eve against the Blues. Rangers beat them. Rangers beat them both times they played them. Ironically, the Rangers were 5-1 against Boston and St. Louis during the regular season. And it's crazy. They didn't even come close to making the playoffs. Neither teams are competing for the cup. But I was talking to Darren Pang. I'm like, what is it? I guess it's got to be Binnington. He's like, there's been a lot of times they've bailed Binnington out more than the opposite. Like, he was not completely sold on him.
Right.
That maybe just the change in goal kind of spurred everybody on, but he kind of didn't want to give him all the credit for the turnaround. He really thought it was Berube's honesty and that it just took him a while to get acclimated to be the head coach. But now I think this kid's really emerged as a difference maker. He's going up against Tuukka Rask, who's been to a Stanley Cup final before. He's been a good goaltender for a long time. And he was red hot going into the playoffs. And so he's staring down the barrel of a world-class goaltender, and he's even with him now. And he's probably a little bit of an advantage based on the fact that, you know, he won an overtime game.
Yeah, I mean, both of those goalies sort of put on clinics, especially in the second and third period. You know, I mean, Rask was unbelievable, but Binnington was right there with him. So, you might be right in saying that the missing piece has always been a goaltender, and we may have that piece now.
I mean, now, he only faced 23 shots, so it's not like he was overwhelmed, but I thought he made the saves that were necessary to make, and the Blues were the better team.
Yeah, definitely.
So, it's a best of five with the Blues having home ice advantage the rest of the way. So
it's exciting. I mean,
have you been in touch with anybody in St. Louis? How's the city responding?
I mean, the city's going nuts. Obviously, there's the whole Play Gloria thing, which if you don't know that storyline, where like some of the Blues players were in Philadelphia, and they were at a bar after watching an Eagles-Bears game, I think, and
it's a playoff game where the Bears missed the field goal.
And so the bar kept playing Gloria, and the Blues players thought, this is a great song, and so that has just sort of been a riding theme throughout their season in the playoffs, and the town's going nuts. It's great. It's exactly what you want to see for a sports city that has had some tough times recently. It's pretty freaking cool. Pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I think it's great. Good for them, and hopefully I want a long series. I mean, you probably want it to be over in five with the Blues winning.
But it's fun,
I get
though.
The ratings have been good. I know game one won the night on Memorial Day. I don't know, with it going to NBC Sportsnet for game two and then game three, I don't know how that affects things, but people seem to have really responded to it. I can't wait to see the game on Saturday and just the response from those fans.
Definitely.
They had a bunch of fans in the building in St. Louis last night watching the game on the Jumbotron, and they were flipping out and going crazy. So
yeah, man. I mean, listen, as someone from St. Louis, there's a ton of history between St. Louis and Boston in terms of sports. So I sort of want nothing more than just to kind of shove this down their throats, candidly.
Well, if they win, we'll have you on again. How about that? I think if they win the Stanley Cup, we'll have Mike Brownshire back on again.
I'm in. Let's do it.
And if they lose, all the Blues fans who listen to this podcast will be like, never put that guy back
right,
on again.
He's a jinx.
But good job, man. That was
fun.
All right, thanks, Mike Brownshire. He's our imaging guy at 98.7 ESPN New York. He's a Blues fan. And I just wanted to get a fan's response to that, man, because we don't get a chance to take calls on the podcast. We read your tweets. But to get the emotion of a fan after what I thought was a phenomenal game. I mean, again, I don't have a dog in a fight. I'm watching the game, and it was one of those games. I tweeted it out. I didn't want it to end. Because it was just so much fun. I mean, so if there was any disappointment, it was such a short overtime, but good for the Blues. They did a terrific job. Let's hear from you at Don LaGranca, hashtag game misconduct. Troy says, what should Boston do in response for game three? More physicality or more puck possession and antagonizing? Well, listen, Marchand's got to play a better game. I thought he was brutal in the game. How many turnovers on the blue line? Boston was taken out of their game. I don't think they were willing or I think prepared for how physical the Blues were going to be. And I think they'll make the adjustment. They'll get physical. I think this series has got a chance now over what I hope will be five more games of even getting more physical and even more crazy. Because if Boston decides to respond to the 49 hits that the Blues had in game two, you could have both sides with 50 hits and just bodies all over the place. This is not going to be for the weak of heart the rest of the series for sure. So I would think that Bergeron's going to try to antagonize. Certainly the Blues have had problems with the penalty kill. Let's be honest. They don't want to take penalties, so I'm sure Boston's going to agitate. They're going to try to get more physical, and I think the Blues have to continue the physicality as well. So I know it's a skill game. I know you want to try to have room to skate, but let's get this series going. I think there's going to be a lot more physicality. So to respond to you, Troy, I think that's going to be Boston's response to up the physicality just a bit. Courtney says, I'm a bad hockey fan. I totally missed the game. I had to get up early this morning, still rooting for the Blues. Listen, Courtney, bad job out of you because, listen, it was worth not sleeping for that game. It really was. And I think the rest of this series is going to be great. Steven says, not a question, just a statement. Go Blues. And Tarasenko is just amazing. And that's a great point too, Steven, because if Tarasenko and the Blues win the cup and Tarasenko ends up winning this Conn Smythe, that's back-to-back years that a Russian player won the Conn Smythe trophy. So it's interesting, man. It really is. How well he has played. He was kind of a no-show at times in these playoffs. Remember, he had that long streak in which he did not have an even strength point. But boy, he has been terrific for them. And I think if they end up winning three more games in the series and he continues to play the way he's playing, I think there's a chance he could win the Conn Smythe. Ari Kaufman says, Blais clearly got pushed into Rask by Krug. That's a good point, too, with the goaltender interference. There was a couple of goaltender interferences against the Blues. I don't know what Jaden Schwartz was thinking on that four-minute double high sticking penalty in which the Blues not only didn't score, but they committed a penalty, didn't even get the full four minutes. That could have been a turning point as well in this game. That was a bad job by Schwartz, just kind of crashing the net. The Blais hit, I did think Krug kind of pushed into him. I thought that was a bad call, and that, of course, led to a power play goal. So that was a bad call. Good job by you checking that out. And he also mentions on the Sundquist boarding, Grizzlick, it looked they only called a penalty because he got hurt, like Pavelski versus Vegas. Definitely didn't like DeBrusk diving over Edmondson's stick and getting a tripping call. All very valid points for sure, but the game ended up being so good that I really didn't focus on some of the bad calls. But good job by you. I thought that was a bad goaltender interference call on the Blues early that led to the power play goal, and I thought that Jaden Schwartz, that was bad on his part. I guess he just got a little too caught up, and he's really kind of quieted down here. I would have given him maybe the Conn Smythe had the Blues won, but he kind of got shut down a little bit at the end of the Sharks series. Didn't score at all in Game 7, and Game 6, and so far quiet here in the Stanley Cup Final. Tasty Barrels 9 says, hi, Don, love the show. Am I taking crazy pills, or does the Bruins system, relative to others, rely on setting pucks all over the ice, protecting puck carrier from hits and obstructing defenders from getting the shot lanes? It's effective, but is it legal? Well, it's legal to a point. I mean, you're not supposed to have those interference penalties, but clearly they know what they're doing. They do a great job clogging the areas and the lanes and giving the goaltender looks on the defensive side, and then clearly they open up a lot of ice themselves on the offensive side on the forecheck. But I really think the Bruins, and I don't want to take anything away from what the Blues did last night, but the Bruins were taken out of their game. I thought Brad Marchand played one of the worst games I've ever seen him play. There was a lot of bad offsides. The Blues just looked really discombobulated at times in this game, and yet it took overtime for them to lose. So that's why I think this has got a chance to be a classic series, because it doesn't look like anybody's running away from anyone, no matter how bad at times a certain team would play. The Blues were awful, if you remember, in the third period last game in Game 1, still managed to get to hang, and it essentially was a one-goal game until the empty netter. And then you saw how much the ice was tilted in the favor of St. Louis last night, and yet Boston was still able to force overtime. So I think that's a terrific job out of both these teams kind of hanging in there. But I did think Boston played poorly, and maybe they were taken out of their game by how physical the St. Louis Blues were. Robert says, Blues took advantage of a sixth skater to score the game winner in overtime. How do the coaches decide whom to send out as the extra attacker? Is it just the center or winger on the next line due on the ice? It's a great point. It's usually kind of decided. It depends on the system and it depends on the team. Usually whoever is next up, and then the coach will decide who that guy should be in relation to who already is on the ice. So it's going to be somebody that would probably come on the next line change. And I think some teams do set it up ahead of time where if who would be next up and who is the best opportunity. You don't have to worry about being a center or a winger because there's not going to be a face-off at that particular point. So you just try to get the best available goal scorer, the guy that is next up. It's a fresh body, so you don't want somebody who had just came off on a change. So it's kind of a catcher's catch can, but there is a little bit of guesswork, but there's also a little bit of planning as well for who that individual is going to be on that given moment. Chris says, I don't want to complain after a great game last night. However, why does the NHL start these games at 8:23 in order for younger fans to watch and older fans to stay up? Can't they start these games earlier? It comes down to the same old adage and the same old story of they're trying to get the game as late as possible for the West Coast. All right. So put yourself in a hockey fan's standpoint or shoes. If they live out in California, all right, you work 9 to 5, you get home at say 5:30, maybe it takes a half hour, 45 minutes for you to get home from work. Well, if they start the game at 8:05, 8:10, you might miss the entire first period. So they're trying to make it as helpful for everyone. And plus they want what they're also hoping for in the West Coast. The later they can start the game, the later the game will go. So say if that's a 5:23 start out on the left coast and the game goes 3 hours, they can spill deeper into prime time. Just try to get the optimum numbers. I understand it's frustrating, especially when they tell you the game starts at 8 o'clock and then you sit down, you turn on the TV and you have to wait 25 minutes for the actual game to get started. I know it's frustrating. I wish they would just say the game is going to start at 8:25 so you can be prepared for it, but NBC's trying to sucker you into the pregame show. But I'm with you. It's a dilemma, especially these games that go into overtime because you've got the 15, 17, 18 minute delay between the third period and overtime. And, you know, it does spill in pretty, it wasn't terribly late last night. I thought the game had a good pace to it, but you do bring up a good point that they want to try to get the West Coast to see the beginning of the game, but the East Coast ends up suffering at the end of the game. And that's what I've always said, especially with baseball. Is that I'd rather miss the first three innings so that I can be awake for the last three innings. So let the people on the West Coast miss the first half of the first period so that the people on the East Coast can enjoy the entire game. So I'm with you, but that's probably the reason that they do it. Matt says, what a game. Despite the win, the Blues need to tighten up on special teams. Power play is hurting them. Hoping this goes seven games with the rest going into overtime. Absolutely, completely, 100% agree with you. I got to tell you that the power play for the Boston Bruins, which has been the best all throughout the playoffs, they had a little bit of a lull there. They went a 3-for-19, but overall they've been good. Blues have to stay out of the box. You're absolutely positively right. If there's one negative, they can't continue to give 5-6 power play opportunities to the Boston Bruins. And even though Boston really hasn't necessarily taken advantage of it, they're 2-for-10 so far in the series. But still, that means your best players don't get a chance to be on the ice. Momentum can change. And even though the Bruins have only scored 2 power play goals in these one-goal games that essentially these two games have been, tell me that one goal can't be the difference in the game for sure. It certainly was in game one. And remember, there was a power play for the Boston Bruins in game one. They hit the post twice. So they're dominating with time of possession. They're getting their opportunities. Bennington has just been able to stand on his head. Tim says, St. Louis had 33 hits to Boston's 32 in game one. St. Louis cranked it up with 50 hits in game two, while Boston managed just 31, one fewer than the game one total. Is the most physical team going to win this series? And if so, does that favor St. Louis? Well, Boston could play physical too, but you're right. Through the first two games, they've essentially kind of been the same team. If you look at the Blues in the first two rounds of the playoffs, they did not get physical. They averaged less than 25 hits a game. But since the San Jose series, they've been up over 40 hits a game, with the exception of game one, where they just did not do a great job distancing themselves from Boston in the physicality, and they lost the game. So you know St. Louis is going to play physical, but Boston can as well. But ultimately, I know this is a finesse game now. The old days are over as far as the physical pounding the players take. But mark my words, the team that's more physical is going to win this series, and it's going to wear teams down. And we'll see if Grizzlick is going to be able to come back and play for game three. I would think he would be able to, but you're going to see guys get hurt. And you also see, I really do believe, and this was speculated early on in the game last night, that the Krug hit on Thomas, and by the way, Thomas did not miss game two because of that hit. He had been nursing a wrist injury. that set the tone. It maybe woke up the Blues a little too late, but since that got replayed over and over during the day off, and it was such a turning point for the Bruins in game one, it's hard to believe that it wasn't a turning point overall for game two as well in favor of St. Louis. So that really upped the dial to 11 as far as the checking's been concerned. And the Blues responded. We'll see if Boston respond on Saturday. So we got an extra day off for the Stanley Cup final. It's not going to be until Saturday, an extra day of travel from Boston to St. Louis. So let's set you back up again on Monday, because we're not going to have anything to do until we can recap game three and then preview game four on Monday. So we'll catch up with EJ Raddick on Monday. He'll be in St. Louis. We'll be able to recap game three. Someone's going to be up 2-1, so that's going to be a big game four coming up on Monday. So back with you again on Monday. Hopefully we'll be able to get EJ Raddick live from St. Louis. So if you want to get in touch with me between now and then, especially if you want to get in touch with me during the game on Saturday, which again will be on NBC Sports Network, so this will be the last one on cable, and then Monday and the rest of the way they'll be back on NBC. At Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct's the best way to do that. Back with you again on Monday, hopefully with EJ. This was the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.